Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Adventures into Reality. We are simulcast on the mega giant bbsradio.com, Blog Talk Radio, and Google Hangouts. If you want to get to the live chat, go to galactichistorian.com/live. Welcome, everyone. We are going to have an incredible episode. Danielle Lin is in the Mystery Islands in the middle of the South Pacific. So today we are going to be talking about world and geopolitical affairs. This early November, we are going to be having an election of tacit consent. And for those that have been listening for a while in the sovereignty shows, we talk about giving away your tacit consent to those in power. We are at a date and time in human consciousness and evolution that we make active choices about our life, from each heartbeat to heartbeat, not moment of election from moment election. This is what many people going to the voting polls here in the United States are going to be doing. I want you to look up the Congress and Senate Deadpool. What is that? That is a list of congressmen and senators who have dual citizenship with Israel or other countries. These are the ones that have been given the most money and bribes. You can look this up all over the internet. They're talking about the representative Deadpool, the senator's Deadpool, because these are the ones that are the worst of the worst. So that is part of the education side of geopolitical politics. The next thing I want to talk about is Monsanto. Monsanto has been getting across in a way with things left and right to the point that they're suing whole countries and bankrupting whole countries. At what point does human consciousness begin to grasp hold that a single corporation, that is a dead entity, that law gave life to, is now attacking and removing countries, putting in debt whole countries? We have to come to a point of human conscious understanding that cognitive dissonance cannot take away this experience anymore. Over the next 23 shows, between now and the end of, let's say, December, on that wonderful, magical date, there is going to be a series of very powerful pieces of information that come out, not just on this show, but hundreds of other shows, that tells people who are part of Resistance Free Earth, the spiritual resistance, the physical resistance, the social resistance, the culture resistance, all those who say, I will not conform to what you believe, for it is my belief that will form and conform this reality around me. I'm a 100% sovereign free will being on a sovereign free will planet, in a sovereign free will galaxy and universe. There is no dimension or time stream that can be connecting me into disconnection. No longer will there be a separation of worlds. So as what we normally do in this show, we talk about a stream read. And the first part of the stream read that I want to talk about is what's going on in Fukushima. A couple days ago, I was doing an extreme scan of the Fukushima area, and I was seeing tremendous amounts of psychic technology from the satellites being projected into that area, as well as sylphs and ground layer vessels that were all throughout that area. There was also a war going on in that area where there are positive and negative dimensional forces, physical and non-physical, that are battling out for control of what? How the radioactive fallout is going to be cleaned up and then repurposed into something else. This is an entire energy game. As I've said many times before, what is under Fukushima and that whole Japanese area are womb chakras, W-O-M-B. And the fear on the top, this radiation, this Fukushima, this glazing sore on the top, is what's taking this belief, charging those radioactive particles with fear, and spreading it amongst one of the biggest bodies of water in our world. Water is programmable. So something that people can understand, the weather is being programmed at the water level. The weather is our uncollective consciousness trying to get us to be a collective consciousness. So I ask people during their private meditations to look at the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, find video and graphs on the internet that talk about the conveyor belt, and in your own mind, see this system. Then look at Japan. Look at Chernobyl. Look at Syria. And see how waves of fear try to interfere with the natural flow of water, the natural flow of what is consciousness and collective consciousness and uncollective consciousness, all trying to figure itself out in a time where we're not contemplating time, we're contemplating no time. The biggest part of the ascension issues with people coming up is leaving time. Time relates to money, this hourly rate that we are here when we are working as the slave soldiers. No longer will that be the basis of any foundation for us to be us. We will be free of the clock, free of that stamp that says you have a value each day that you wake up, that you cannot set your own value, that you cannot determine your own way. This is what this big thing is coming, an acceptance that we don't need that, that we don't need the systems of government and control that were set up because there were zealots and ignorant and intolerant people that were masochistic. We put those people in power because our media agencies were overwhelmed with bribes in the form of exchange for value that kept them working 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week until they lost their soul generation after generation after generation. We here at GalacticHistorian.com, we all work. We all have our positions in life. And going forward with these positions, going forward with all that is here, is our purpose. A couple days ago, we talked about GNN, the Galactic News Network. And that is going to be being formed inside the League of Consciousness Explorers. We are looking for people that want to be a part of a way, brand new way of reporting news. So we are going to be having a series of webinars inside the League of Consciousness Explorers that are going to be Q&A based. And at the end of these two times a month that we normally do with the League, we're going to be bringing forward other people who are bringing updates from the community. Why am I doing this? Because it is time to let other people shine. People ask me in the private, why would you do reality sovereignty shows? Because there are so many light workers that have an allergy to the law. And it is the law that prevents them from going their own awakening process, their own denials, how much control the law has over them. By me standing in that position and holding space and taking time to educate myself in the law of what equity and unity is, I was able to process things from both sides and create contract revocations. It's very special ones that many, many people here in the audience have had very special experiences from. Those special experiences need to be expanded many, many fold. And we're at a time where we get to do that. We're the ones that choose absolutely everything at all times. No other place in the universe do we get this layer of experience. 7 full colors, 9 experiential bodies, 63 ways of perceiving every moment to moment second, no matter what it is. So today we are going to be bringing on our person that we're going to be reading, and it's going to be Serena. Serena has been in the waiting box for a while. We have a number of other people that are in the waiting, but Serena's reading is going to be part of a teaching. So there are a whole bunch of teachings that are lined up for people. So Santi, I'd like you to bring in the reading when you get. I'm sorry, Doug at BBS. Once you bring in the caller when we get a chance here. And remind people at GalacticHistorian.com/live, want you to little look at that little world monitor over there. That's how many people are checking in from all over the world. This is how global we can be this fast. Want people to dream for a second that this live broadcast place right here with this chat room that's going to be advanced manyfold as we begin to integrate it into the website is going to take on a lot of scenarios. We have a simulcast with BBS Radio, and that means we can have a tremendously large stream of people. We are taking this as far as we can go. So, is the caller here now? Serena, are you here?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, very good. It's nice to speak to you, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just one second. Let me adjust my volume a little bit here. So, how did you find out about me?
Well, my partner introduced the Galactic History videos you had with Lance White, and then that kind of set the trail, basically, and I've been tuning into a lot of reading shows recently, so yeah, it's been a very fun experience.
So you've heard a lot of the reading shows, so you can kind of know how this goes. So what particular in the material has attracted you?
Something that sticks out the most is that was the concept of your, that everything is a belief system, basically, and karma as a belief system particularly, because you think karma is like the end-all be-all when really it's not. So that was really mind-opening for me. Yeah.
Very good. So do you have questions that you want to start with? Did you want me to jump in the reading? You know how this works. You have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you.
Okay. I do have some questions, but I notice that people, you know, tend to jump into their questions. And I always kind of want to know what you're going to start off with. So you can start off before I get into my questions, if you like.
Very good. This is to somebody that's gone back into the old school days where I would do six or seven people in 2 hours, and I would just jump right into them. So what I would like you to do is tell me about your first 10 minutes of the day. And in that first 10 minutes of the day, I want you to sum it up in 30 or 40 seconds. And I want you to be as specific as you possibly can about when you first woke up. Did you roll over? Did you rub your eyes? Did you pet your cat? What was that first thing you did?
Okay. The first thing I did was look at the clock, and it was 5:55. I had woken up earlier than that. I was kind of tossing around in my bed for an hour. I woke up at 4:44 before. Then I gave myself a big stretch, and I reached over to grab my phone to record what I had remembered about my dreams, which wasn't much. Then I turned on my lamp beside my bed.
Mm-hmm. All right, I've tuned into you. I've tuned into you. When you got your phone and you went to go record, about how many seconds of actual voice did you record?
Not much. The timer of the recorder didn't even go off, so, and I didn't remember much of it.
Yeah. Right away, I see you're disconnected from two parts of your ancestral dream world. You haven't been in your ancestral dream world in probably about 8 years. That was because there was a series of false light beings who came in and started cleaning house on anyone that hadn't finished their experience. And there were a number of people that wanted to stay in the astral world and be guides during the change. And ultimately, everyone was that was with the proper stamp on them that was supposed to be immigrated here to Earth during the change got forced imported into Earth. And that means the particular soul family we're working with is called De Graneja. It's a special clan of souls that purposely, how do I describe this, look for skin suit that have special kinds of legs and knee joints and feet and hips, because they believe that instead of the brain and the eyes being the way that you design the skin suit, that you designed it around the legs and put the brain inside the pelvis and create something that may have a tail and a short head, and it maybe it absorbs food differently. So these are people who did not want to be in human skin suits. That it was very much reviling to them. Is this making sense to you?
I'm not sure, but the whole thing about the hips, knees, and the legs, I do find that very important. And I actually have some like issues with my knees sometimes, and my hips pop a lot and crack a lot.
Yeah. Well, you've disconnected, as I said, you disconnected from that dream world. The whole soul family was cleared out, forced incarnated into Earth, so there's no one in the astral realms to act as an astral ancestor. So you had to revert into other parts of your DNA, which were other soul family connections that had a very, very distant DNA link from the lineage that you are in now. And this lineage is a Hittite lineage. From Assyria, Babylon, Persia, it would have been about 65, 66,000 years ago that this particular DNA lineage was formed. Its actual purpose was to be an underground creator. Like, it was able to take animal husbandry of sheep and goats and dogs and cats and be able to do it underground without the light of day. For a mass creation of DNA skin suits that were harvesting, what is this? Some kind of fresh souls that were coming in from another place. It was actually deliveries. Ooh. So this is a Hittite. Let me scan through this just a second here. Have you read the Zachariah Sitchin books, The Earth Chronicles?
No.
Have you ever read anything on the ancient astronauts or seen any TV series about them?
Ancient astronauts?
Yes, like Ancient Aliens?
No. TV show? No, very little. Very little.
It would be a really, really, really good idea you add into your studying process of who we are as a species, that you look into the Ancient Aliens concept. There's a TV series that you can go and look. It's a good one. There's an author named David Hatcher Childress, who's very much specialized into looking into ancient alien concepts. Bren Forrester is talking about Peru and South America and similar in ancient aliens concept. The reason I say this is because you were a physical being who came from another world and that came to live on Earth, and instead of dying on Earth, you lived out an entire military cycle here or life cycle here, but you would actually die on your own home world. And this would bring ancestors from our world to their home world and ancestors from their home world to theirs. It was a way of crossbreeding the spirits. And this is an Anunnaki offshoot. There was more than one version of Anunnaki, so people have to realize that. There were hundreds of different sects, much like we have black, white, yellow, and red, and so on and so forth. They had different types that also had different looking skin suits. Some had a very insectoid look, some a very reptoid look, some a very human look. But they were all the same soul spark inside, and the physical representation wasn't as much as a cultural taboo or misunderstanding. They understood what the soul spark was. Your lineage that you had to jump into, this was about 8 years ago, would have been this Hittite Anunnaki offshoot. And this has been something your soul didn't want to connect to because it was a time in your life, you were in your soul life, that you were not doing things that you wanted, that you were not on the path to discovering yourself. During this particular lifetime, this is where you discovered, well, the Anunnaki in general discovered that there were time-traveling Atlanteans that were coming through and assassinating particular members of the Anunnaki military memberships to prevent certain types of war strategies from being used at the soul commerce trade level. Because there was a tremendous soul commerce trade that the Anunnaki knew was going on Earth, and it was like a black market in a dimension they didn't have access to. And unless they had DNA relations and ancestral relations, they didn't get access to this military bazaar in another dimension that was determining the resources of Earth. You became very aware of it, and at your last death in the Anunnaki homeworld, you broke your contracts, vows, and agreements with all hierarchical aspects of the military determining future of your soul life. You left the Anunnaki world and you went essentially to the end of the universe. This is something many Anunnaki did who had severe issues with the long-term process of what they did in unawareness and awareness. And they waited until the universe went through an expansion point, and they literally watched the universe create brand new galaxies, brand new solar systems. And in that universal witness, your soul spark changed. Now, as I said earlier, you have been looking in your DNA for something that has your awakening codes. Well, your I Am Presence has one half of the code, and your soul family you're supposed to be connected to has the other half of the code. Your DNA lineage that you are actually in is missing the incoming code. Do you understand this?
Yeah, I'm wondering if there is a remedy or an aid, something that
there's
I can...
There's always a remedy and an aid, and it's a determination of what it is this lifetime that's going to find you completeness. As I've been talking here, I'm scanning hundreds and hundreds of other parts of you that were left undone. And one of the things that I see left undone is this last three lifetimes, you did not pass on relics to the seven future generations. When you did discover how to get out of the system of domination and control and get out of the Anunnaki servitude and be your own sovereign being, creating your very own soul family. Okay. There is a soul family out there that you created with the extended purpose of bringing in divinity path souls during times of great change. Okay, what other kind of questions do you have right now?
Well, that was really interesting. Thank you. My next question or concern, recently I received my Reiki level one, and I also afterward had a Reiki session with my Reiki master, and she brought to my attention that my ears and heart were blocked, and I was wondering if you could tell me your take on that, and if you can kind of dissect what's going on in those two areas.
For people that were watching in the video, I was just actually cleaning out your ears and your heart as I was going through this process.
Thank you.
you have several overlays of your heart of moments where you had deep love for other people, and you connected to their soul spark, though you did not continue a relationship with them. It's kind of like you took a spark inside your heart and you held it there, and you went on and went on and went on as this other person didn't know what to do until they lost themselves and left a spark inside you with hope that you would come back to them. This is something lovers do and have been doing for thousands of generations, is leaving a spark in the heart. And I see you have collected several sparks. One of the issues with the ears that's going on, your brain isn't actually draining properly out the back of your medulla oblongata. You're having a series of issues where you're going into fight or flight mode. Something is literally triggering your adrenal glands. It looks like some of it is diet. So there's some series of people that whenever you speak to them, your heart rate is rapidly increasing. It's not panic attack, but they're really making you nervous with their energy. And this is the issue with your ears. You're tuning into way, way too many dimensions and time streams, and you're getting confused.
Wow. Is there anything I can do about those two things?
There's lots of things that you can do. It's a matter of your level of creativity and how witchy you want to actually get.
I'm willing to get pretty witchy. I mean, I own crystals. I have some crystals. I have a singing bowl. I'm willing to expand my collection.
It's not about expanding the collection. It's about what are you willing to do for your own self. What does it take for you to be eternally happy for 25 minutes without your cell phone or somebody calling or something interrupting you from actually having that 30 or 40 minutes of uninterrupted happiness, returning to the state of bliss?
Okay.
I mean, how much are you trying to steal your own free time now? You know, who's around in your life that keeps occupying you?
Yeah. I need to take more no time for myself.
Well, there's more than taking no time. It's identifying the habit patterns with the particular individuals that are reaching into your life psychically. So when you went to go take your Reiki class, you know, what did you experience from the teacher in the class? What was it like for you?
I thought it was a really good experience. I actually really enjoyed it. I really liked my Reiki master. She's very light and bubbly, and I thought it was a really good experience, and I definitely need practice as well. It's something I would willing to
work
on. Did you
get to feel the energy when you're doing a treatment on someone?
Yes, I felt minimal energy, but it was there. Yeah.
Okay. All right, right now I'm working on these different soul shards that are attached to your heart, at least already three of them. And these go back to somebody in like your third or fourth grade class that you were just so worried about that you just grabbed onto a piece of their heart, and this person has passed on, and it just needed to go into the light. This is something that whenever you would get these depressive periods, you'd reach back into that field and making sure that you had your angel wings around it, but the space was voided. There we go. Do you remember somebody, you know, maybe in your third, fourth, or fifth grade class, as a student dying?
Oh, not really.
What do you remember about your childhood?
I remember being like a very, I was an anxious, angry child. I can say that it makes a lot of sense. I was stressed out.
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to help you understand there were parts of you during this anger at the young age that would go and be a martyr, a hardcore martyr, and you took on the pain of other children and brought it into your heart. And what I'm endeavoring to do here is to help you see the habit pattern that has been collecting these little soul shards. And in a way, this is a trophy case. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when we're a martyr, we're a really hardcore martyr, and anger is one of the biggest tells of how much a martyr we are. Because when we get angry, we try to balance it off by becoming the martyr. We balance that the energy of all the anger I've had. All right, I will martyr some myself to help the whole world. And you're in a situation where this other shard that I'm working on, this is not when you're 19. Let me get into it. It's right between your heart and your throat, and it's so delicate. You had met this person, and they were just a really, really just kind and perfect person. And you didn't really knew this person, a man, I don't know, a few hours. And then a month or so later, you met him, and he had been beaten horribly. And you just took in part of his pain, and it's still stuck in you.
Wow. Okay, so
you don't remember any of this, do you?
No, I mean,
were you drinking a lot then?
Was I if I was around there, I guess so. Mm-hmm.
This is an example of how something can come through in a blackout. You don't even remember it, and it's still in your soul trauma. All right, so what other kind of questions do you have?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. So I was also wondering what it is that I'm doing in my dream time currently, and as well, how can I build and strengthen my dreaming energy so I can utilize my dream time to its fullest potential?
Okay, that's a good question. I think the first thing that we have to understand is you're looking for your true soul family in your dream world. And your dreaming body has taken up, I'm going to use this metaphor, you're like a ship captain. You have maps, you have a compass, and you have other tools to read the natural stars, but you have no clue where your real soul family is, and you're going by your gut feeling. And this is what you're doing in your dreaming world. You're going from world to world to world to world. And each time you come into a new dream world, you put out some feelers. And those feelers come back and they don't have the soul codes that are supposed to respond to you in the natural psychic order. So you bring the feelers back in and you go to the next one. And you've been doing this for about 8 years now, and it's burning out your soul. Literally, it's too much work. Your dreaming body has to be told to let down, to come back to the physical body, to put its ass in port, and to take away its license to leave this world. Your soul family is here in the now, but they're like you in unawareness now. They're still going through their ascension and awakening processes at the very beginning of them. And, you know, your soul family is pretty small. There's only about 300, 350,000 people in it at this moment in time. Okay? Most of them are unawake. There's a handful that we could consider adept at meditation, adept at some type of basic ceremony enough to keep their physical environment clean, but not to jump into their actual purpose, which is to be a dreaming entity and a physical entity simultaneous on different worlds. So let's say you're a physical entity here. You could duplicate a dreaming body on another world as well as duplicate your physical body on that other dreaming world. It's a special, special talent that allows all dimensions and time streams to come to a moment in no time from the soul spark, where the soul spark has invested the triad of all the I am selves, past, present, future, and allowed physical manifestation in multiple dream locations and multiple physical locations to create a consciousness chain that brings even more of your higher soul spark into the process of what you are doing. What does your soul family do? It brings together big groups of psychics, and it turns them into like giant psychic radio stations. That's the best metaphor I can do. It's like you can tap into the psychic minds of others and the psychic dream worlds of others and make a psychic radio or TV station that can broadcast on a dozen dimensions and time streams based off of the people you physically have around you wherever you can manifest in the universe. You can make a network, and people's crown chakras become the repeating state, the psychic repeating station of what you're trying to broadcast through the entire universe. And you started this soul family because there were a number of other soul families that were doing this to create universal unity, galactic unity, planetary unity, and there was a need for this to be done here, that Earth would have its own version of these, because these exist on other worlds currently. And if they naturally spawn on Earth from their natural own soul family, there is a higher degree of Earth-based trust in the message that's coming out. So you're meant to be around highly, highly psychic people so that you can connect them to even greater locations, because you can duplicate yourself dreamingly and physically. Well, to get to that potential, we need to know about energy awareness. So for you, an absolutely clean, impeccable energy environment is what you need for you to create this. So that means you need to create a psychic safe room. Okay. Do you have a room that you could put a lock on that could be only yours?
I have a bedroom.
Yeah. You have no place that you can put a lock on that no one else can go in other than you.
Yeah, it would be my room. Mm-hmm. I don't own a house.
There's not going to be an issue that like every time you lock it, no one else can go in there. And if you forget to lock it and someone goes in there, there has to be severe consequences. You're making something that's called a psychic safe room. So if somebody else comes into your property, into your room, and leaves their impression in your psychic safe room, you won't be able to practice the skill sets of absolute energy cleanliness so that you can connect to the true word of your DNA wisdom, which is the psychic connection at the universal source to be a rebroadcaster. That's what your DNA is meant to be doing here. You're meant to be one of those people, like a production team behind a big movie series. You know, the live broadcast, like a live TV show. On a psychic level, that's what you're meant to do. It's an extremely rich and beneficial talent to have. You just don't see it. You are only looking through the lens of perception of the awakened Serena that is you now, who hasn't experienced the fullness of the talents that are in your DNA. You're still looking through your toxicity. You're still at that fledgling of who I could be. And coming to this readings, I want to give you a whole lot of hope. So first thing first is where you sleep has got to be taken care of. There needs to be the four corners of the room need to be protected. In between your mattress, you should be put crystal, silver, salt, and sage. That's between the mattress. And then at least three times a week, you should be sleeping with salt on the base of your tailbone. That's the start. Have you done a detox?
No, I've never done a detox.
Never done a detox. Well, you're in for a very enlightening moment.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Do you have time you can set aside to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I could make time to do that.
You know someone that can do the colonics?
No, but I've been looking into it.
You should really look around, and I'm going to tell you, for you, you've never done a detox before. Doing the colonics is like using the easy button. And I'm serious. It's the easy button. Do two colonics, then start your two-week colon cleanse. And when you're done with the two-week colon cleanse, do another two colonics. This is where you're going to see how much energy you have been wasting to battle the toxicity that's in you. Mm-hmm. You have a candida that's in your gut that's when you drink too much orange juice or even have a few beers or anything that's sugary or alcoholic, it feeds the candida, which gives you these heavy-duty appetite things that come out of nowhere. Hot flashes when you're just driving in the car, all of a sudden what it is your stomach is starting to produce alcohol and your body's starting to absorb it and trying to turn it into something more like vinegar, and it creates a hot flash through the body. What's going on with your feet?
With my what, sorry?
Your feet. What's going on with your feet?
My feet. Well, I take some foot baths recently.
But, did you break your ankle ever?
No. No.
I see all this psychic trauma over your left ankle.
Wow, I don't know. At some point, between the bones of the toes used to hurt on the top of my foot, but not near the ankle. I don't know.
All right, so let's move on. What other kind of questions do you have?
I had a question about my current relationship. I feel like my long-term partner and I have a unique relationship. That I'm super grateful for, and I was wondering if there's any significance to our relationship, or like what history do we share together?
Okay, what's his name?
Jacob.
All right, so I'm looking at his soul contracts based on to you. He's there as a protector. This goes back right into lifetimes through France, where you acted as his protector, and then life before that, he acted as your protector. You were part of a French mystery school of the Fleur de Lis. You were both master horsemen. This goes back all the way to about 600 or 500 AD. So right around the end of the official end of the Roman Empire, where Vercingetorix was defeating the last of Romulus Augustine's military in Wakakhar, you would have been starting your life as a military horse person, and this is the relationship that you have with him. This is the beginning of that soul relationship. So you are both acting as protectors over each other. You both had, before that, the reason you got put together was you had lives as panthers in South America, where you were, I want to say, worshipped, but it's not really worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
You were given off, these particular panther organizations were giving offerings, and they were luring the panther souls to come and live in humans so that a human can love and live in a panther soul through sovereign free will. And then when the first of the conquistador invasions came in about 2000 AD is where you got pulled into this side and where you got put into the military scenario. Now, he has a tremendous relationship to Romania, particularly the Sphinxes of Romania. He was a builder there, as well as a person that could access the multidimensional tunnels. So naturally, putting the two of you together made very good strategy sense. He has very powerful psychic abilities that are left untapped. One of his main issues is severe toxicity in his liver from his father. I don't want to really say this on air, but he has major toxic issues that are psychic toxic issues dealing with his father. And those are what's blocking out some of his very major psychic talents, particularly aerokinesis. This is built into his DNA. The wind, he can emanate wind. Okay, any questions?
Wow, thank you. Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me a bit about my feminine nature. And I feel very sensitive when it comes to any male-female energetic imbalances. I just take a lot of notice to it, and I actually take it personally. So I'm just wondering if this is due to like a disconnection to my feminine side or anything like that, or how I can bring more balance to my male and female sides.
Well, I'm going to be blunt for a second, if I may. It for you, this lifetime, it's sexuality that's going to balance all of that. And unfortunately, in this world, we can't have a fully balanced sexual life without being judged by some other culture or finding ourselves being put into jail. Okay? You understand that?
Yes.
I'm not going to go too deeper in there, but it's your ultimate, you get your bell rung, the right amount of bell ringing times, your kundalini stays on for several months, and you can then redirect that through healing skills into the person that helped turn it on, so that ultimately that male aspect has a high level of kundalini energy turned on if they are developing physical skills or psychic skills. Remember, you're there to modify their psychic skills. So somebody that is freshly learning some of like clairvoyance, clairaudience, remote viewing, having you in their presence and doing those type of intimate skill sets of healing would mean that you could literally amplify what they can do at an early age, at an early part of that, and then when they're not in your presence, they're starting to practice that they learn how to actually do it because they've had a taste of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sexuality, and then the next process is for you to really be a balanced female this life. It's an understanding of how much time it takes to be you each day in public. That includes the dressing time and the undressing time before you go to bed. There needs to be a clear delineation when you are done with the shared reality, that when you go to your room to be alone, to have that time, that there is no influence coming in. and that there's a well-known signage that says "Do not disturb" between this and this when she's let down. Very important that you do that. And those people that you do let in ultimately into your psychic safe place, it's because they have already proven that they have their own psychic safe place that's environmentally clean, and that you can have some form of sensual relationship or some form of deep personal friendship in those places of privacy where you know there's not remote viewers watching you, where you can just be human with each other or non-human with each other, where you can let those psychic talents flow without judgment.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So you have any questions there? I know that I was being blunt there, but you know, it is live radio.
No.
We can delve into it more if you'd like.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought that was, I was expecting blunter. I was expecting worse. So.
You are in a specific DNA lineage. You made a really good roll of the dice in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You can resolve a lot with having your bell rung once. There are a lot of other skin suit that they'll have to have their bell rung 20 or 30 times in a month for it to really like turn on the chainsaw noise, where they can just go and go and go and just eat through whatever. And then when they're done with that cycle, their kundalini is like the Mississippi River flowing during rainy season.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, thank you.
Have you ever thought about doing an ayahuasca experience?
I haven't thought about it. Like, I haven't made an intention to do it, but I don't rule it out.
What about some other kind of plant medicine experience?
I've actually done DMT, a form of DMT.
Mm-hmm. Smoked it?
What was that, sorry?
Did you smoke it or did you eat it?
It was smoked.
Yeah, it's powerful.
And, I can't say I had a very full out thing, but there was definitely something I would do again for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of it?
Yeah, I remember having seeing the colors and everything, but something that sticks out was this clownish type area I was in, and I felt very laughy, and it was colorful, and I felt like these clownish beings. I couldn't see their faces or anything, but I knew that there were beings around me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I remember that was significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those were elemental beings that were communicating with you at that time. They were recalibrating your sense of time so that the experience would actually have something imprinted in your DNA memories that other people who are remote viewing your DNA right now are trying to figure out what change you're going through. And this is something that's been going on in your life for a very, very long time.
Hmm.
You ever felt like people are watching you?
Now I do. No, I'm just kidding.
Everyone has had it in their lifetime where people have felt like you're being watched. I asked this question for a reason. One of the reasons I chose you is you're a very special example of DNA skill sets that you got put into that you're really not ready for. Your soul was set up to do something else, and you're in a DNA skin suit that is meant to do something at a scale you're not even ready in your awakening process to deal with. It would be like you suddenly have being the CEO of the Ford Motor Company. Could you make some changes that are good? Yeah. Could you do it in long-term endurance, 18 hours a day? No. Would you even want to be the CEO of the Ford Motor Company?
Mm-hmm.
This is where sovereignty comes in, where you have the right in your DNA to bring through all of your DNA memories in your light body and to upload them into this DNA skin suit so you have all of the light codes that you're looking for. So your other sovereign challenge this lifetime is, what does it take to be disconnected from this system as an energy being and to be my own sovereign being in this DNA lineage skin suit with the memories of others, but my memories are in the hierarchical pecking order, that mine are first and all other memories that are not mine remain second. That is a challenge 30-35% of our world is facing right now. They have imprints in their DNA that aren't for them, that aren't the experience that they want. And this is how propaganda is leading us into processes and evolution that isn't meant for everyone. There is no cookie-cutter way of changing all species.
Mm-hmm.
So what does disclosure mean to you?
All the secrets are out, basically.
Okay. Does that change your life?
Disclosure of what exactly? I mean, I am a very honest person. I would rather know the truth over anything else, because at least I can work with it a little better.
Well, same as everyone else in the world. You give them a little truth, they could take it a mile. They can see what is lies. And once they see what is lies, just a little bit of truth can cut out a whole bunch of lies. When I ask, what does disclosure mean to you? That's something I want you to start thinking about. Because you have the right to change your DNA. As does anyone else that's connecting to this reading. You have the right to bring in your own hierarchical pecking order of memories and to create specific out loud contract revocations that stop other memories from being in the first place for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience with the contract revocations?
I really enjoyed them. I had very strong reactions with the Divine Feminine at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like literally tears and tears coming out the first few times I read them. Now I can read them through without any tears. But that was the strongest reaction.
Okay. And where do you think those tears came from?
Well,
they were healing tears.
Mm-hmm. But
that's how... You asked about your Divine Feminine. Well, you had those tears because there's parts of your Divine Feminine that deeply connected to other women who are going through that those things in those parts of contract revocation that are the worst of the worst. And you've had lifetimes where you've been the worst of the worst, and you don't want that for anyone. But your soul, having this DNA skin suit and an I Am presence that's in unawareness, is having a very difficult time of maintaining a proper hierarchical order of who's you. You know, going and taking your Reiki class, that's the first step into connection to Universal Source. The next step is using it. Using it so that it starts to change your reality, that you can create in your reality. You know, you have to take the strategy of energy into effect now. You need to apply that to your daily life to become ceremonial, to make a choice to say, I'm going to tell my story by the fire. I know you've heard the other readings where I've described the story by the fire. It's important that you do that, that you once again become ceremonial just for yourself, separate of any religious beliefs or ascension beliefs. You need to know your signature frequency so that you can tell your DNA skin suit, no, you do not get to be the one that guides the experience. I am. The I Am presence is what guides the experience. And it is your memories that all should always should be in that hierarchical pecking order of first place. That is your inherent right as a sovereign being in the seat of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any last questions? We're going to move on to the Q&A side here now.
Yeah, maybe a last question. I am also a yoga and Pilates teacher and a personal trainer as well. So I was wondering what you feel I should know about any energetic exchanges that may take place.
Good question. Really good question. There should be some kind of energy exchange for everything you do, even if it's a cup of coffee or somebody buying you a sandwich or doing something for you in return. Okay, your knowledge is greatly, greatly needed in this world. And when you are exchanging energy with clients, whether it's dollars or sweat equity, like, you know, maybe there's a lawyer that says, you know, I'll, if you give me free stuff, I'll give you lawyer stuff and barter, whatever, that's good. That's good for you to be able to maintain some kind of barter system also. As a physical, as a person in the physical training, you're going to be dealing with their dense energies. So some of the techniques that you can bring with you is how to deal with the dense energies on the people so that when they're exercising, stretching around you, that they do not leave their polluted taint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the environment in which you do, you have to figure out, all right, what is it that I can use in the state of perception of all the people around there that I can bring a light field of energy in there where I can clear out the dense energies of overfocus and people sweating and going through all their different emotions when they're going through those exercises? Because they do. In yoga, it's a little different. They're getting that clear mind. But when they're just physical training on the weights and stuff, there's still stuff going through their mind, and that's how they process through it faster. And that can leave a very harsh energies. You know, when I was saying about your ankle injury, I think that's that's something you took on from someone else, something that is just you empathically and psychically picked up and have impressed it upon yourself because you were dealing with some client that had that issue. You know, there's other things that as I've looked at you, I, you know, and not necessarily for public, but you also have a tremendous amount of sexual projections on you, years and years old, from other men and women. And it's very much a time for you to identify to your field of energy that it's not all right for people to use you in astral sex scenarios.
No, it's not.
is why I'm saying you need to think of yourself as creating a psychic vault. And there are only a very few number of people that are allowed in there. And what does it take for you to manifest this lifetime, this world, where when you close that door, you know nothing is going in there other than you. And if you open that door, the only thing that's coming in with you is something you invited in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have a companion and a partner. You just explained to him, this is my awakening process. It's not that I'm not going to share a bed with you. It's just that time before I go to bed, I need to be disconnected from reality so I can see my own signature frequency and I can begin to demand change. That just because I was born into this skin suit by this system of domination and control doesn't mean my memories are not first place and that my DNA that I am forced incarnated in is mine, not yours. Not yours to control and to kick me out as a soul and bring something else in that isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, we are going to end the reading there. Why don't we go on, Santi, let's go on break real quick. And then when we come back, we're going to go to the Q&A side.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, yep. Just
hold
on
a second. I just wanted to...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I just want to say thank you.
You
it was an honor.
You're welcome.
And meow meow.
Meow meow meow.
Meow meow. Bye.
Okay, are we on break, Santi? I can't hear you.
We're going on to break right now.
Okay. We'll be back in 4 minutes here as I get myself a sip of water real quick. I'll be right back. And welcome back, everyone. We are simulcast on BBS Radio, the Mega Giant. I want to thank all those people that stuck around from the previous show. This next part we are going to be is the Q&A side. We are going to be taking questions from the League Q&A. And right away here, I got a really long question, and I like this one. So, Andrew, can you please explain how it's that when some people pass or have had the near-death experience many times, it is reported that their loved ones are there to greet them? You say most are reincarnated immediately. No, that's the first mistake. In the system of domination, if your soul family, your light body lineage, has been targeted, you will be put into something that is not soul family. When you die in a lineage that's not in your soul family, a opportunity for false light to project the tunnel is there. If you are an incarnating being, there is very little chance of the false light being in there at that moment unless you've done something in that lifetime that has put in light body implants from the false light beings, like some false light teacher where you gave away all of your wisdom and all of your power away to, then that would be a scenario. And then the rest of the question, can you specify immediate? What means immediate is literally as soon as you die, you are literally within seconds in a brand new fetus being born in the birth canal. You're in no time during that temporary life review, where it's actually a series of other life reviews layered on top of a very short life review as the system is determining what your light body can fit to into with its parameters, making sure that you do not have a lifetime in which you can create potential in which the machine cannot predict. So that should explain that part of the question. And then could you elaborate on the scenario in general? If a soul reincarnates right away, then it becomes you're always a multidimensional being. It's your birthright being here. All right, so the next question. Where can we find info regarding the original Earth grid compared with the false sacred geometry grids for either local cities or the entire global system? You speak of dirty energy underworld being shared at sacred sites. So how shall we move forward dismantling these sacred geometry systems actively? Very, very good question. I want you to think of an object that omnidirectionally creates a field. That's like a router. So as long as you're within a few hundred feet or 100 yards or so of that router, you can get connection. Okay, connection is that dirty energy underwear. So if you have hundreds of objects spread throughout the cities that are irradiating energy, that means when that field, you are sharing dirty energy under as the fundamental rules. When you identify where these sacred geometry items are, you realize that there's their layer and then there's the true layer. And you have to go through that AM radio dial to figure out what the true layer is. And once you do, you begin denying access to all of those other energy layers. You go to those places, sacred places, that dirty energy underwear has been shared, and you declare your sovereignty in it, that you do not share those surface reality rules, that you are accessing the fundamental rules of that sacred place and sharing sacred space in that sacred place that isn't sharing dirty energy underwear. And that is the process in which we confront these sacred geometry systems and take them down individually. The next is we can look at this world and know that our signature frequency can change something. There are rituals that you can do on a simple piece of paper with the simple images of your own drawing, and then you put it inside the system of domination control and mail it to somewhere. And the second you put your energy into that system, you can change something, something very beneficial. You can send letters to sacred places. You could have people deliver rocks to different places and bury them. And once your signature frequency is there, it is your choice as a multidimensional being to have those objects emanate your energy field, to open a sacred space there so that there can be something as an alternate to the alternate system. The next is, how do we find the natural order of Earth? I think one of the most greatest examples is to look at the Great Barrier Reef of Australia. All life is there. You know, the Gulf of Mexico, all life is there. That is where the natural sacred geometry is, where life naturally flows. Look at where the fish migrate to each year, the salmon. They go from the ocean and into the land. That is where your sacred, natural sacred geometry systems are. And that is where we should be having our homes, in those places. We're lured into cities that have a sacred geometry, a natural life order underneath them, with massive prayer objects that have been put on top, that have multiple other layers of belief system all around it, omnidirectionally creating this dirty energy underwear field that has everything all mixed into a big soup that's connected to other cities through airports, trains, railroads, cars, lighting, power, and so on and so forth. And that is what we are disconnecting from. What the system gives us to conform with instantly when we want to go out in its version of reality, when in fact we can create a bubble of reality around ourselves and move through this entire world as a photonic light being and never intersect anything else as an energy being. It is our inherent right. All right, the next question here. Can you explain in your own signature way a bit more on what exactly is a divinity path being? Well, that's a being that's coming here to make a difference, one that is choosing, in metaphor, to come into the Major League Baseball and to hit 190 home runs in a lifetime. And, you know, if anyone looks at sports statistics, you know, you're looking for average on base. You're looking for some of those things that says what kind of endurance player you're over many years. And your higher soul frequency is that, all those distilled numbers that determines, are you going to hit 192 home runs and make a chance at the world record every season that you play? Well, you are playing in the end season now. And this end season is very tough. Hold on a second here. I'm losing the questions here. There's too many questions coming in, are just flowing right in. I'm losing my questions here. So in the form of the baseball statistics, well, what can you do once you know your statistics? Change them. You can do anything you want. Anything you want. You have to choose to play a different game when you're in a wrong skin suit. All right, so I'm going to move on to the next question. Just a second here. Can you explain... What did I just did that? The divinity path. You're here to be a major leaguer. The 15 beings that were talked about in the Galactic History series that were presented as the brains behind the Arcana grid, have there been any changes or audits recently that have been reviewed that make up the beings of metaphorically set on the board of the Arcana grid? That's a really, really long question. And something that I'll save for the beginning of probably the next show come on Monday. There has been a significant change in those beings because they are involved here directly with our mystery schools, directly with our military. There's over 70 million that make up those 15 beings. Yes, a certain percentage of them removed. The Council of 12 has changed its position. I was asked specifically if beings have had walk-ins. Well, I'm not going to tell you because no one needs to know at that level. What's coming here with these multidimensional beings is a sovereign expression where those soul shards will declare sovereignty from that original being, which is the attempt to for that being to shed its old selves and to create a brand new self, which is a universe inside of a universe existing in a paradox. Three of those multidimensional beings did do battle with a prime creator of another galaxy and now are sharing resources with that prime creator of the galaxy, going through a learning process of what it actually takes to run a galaxy. That's something that is major that's changed in the field. As for audits, the last audit that was done in March last year, that proved everything that was going to be done during the systems of the Dreamtime change. Santi, do you want to come in here for a second? The questions are just flowing in here just too fast here.
Yeah, Andrew, we did not... there's only a couple of questions more apart from the one that you have right now there.
Which ones are the ones from today's reading?
What I mean, these are the league questions. We have talked about putting the questions from the league.
Right, but this was also supposed to be stuff from the reading. We were only supposed to have one question from the league for these shows.
Oh, Okay. My understanding with Daniele was to bring a few questions from the league. That's what I have been bringing up to now.
Yeah. Anyways.
Do you want me to go ahead and bring questions from the reading?
Yeah. What kind of questions do we have from the reading?
Let me go and grab. Let's see if Jake had a chance to get something. Hold on. You have another. If you want to answer, do you want to answer maybe that last one in the meantime?
No.
I'll get you some.
No, I don't want to answer those questions.
Okay.
Not on this frequency after that kind of reading.
Okay, got it. Got it. Very good. So let me go and get some questions. I'm sure that they're going to begin to pop up very, very quickly. Just a minute. That's another multidimensional. Let's see, image. Reading the related questions. We're working on it.
So I want to remind people, if they want, they can go to galactichistorian.com and they can check out some of the new stuff that we have coming out. You can also go to YouTube to catch the replay, as well as at bbsradio.com. We'll also have the replay here. We are going to be on every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Saturday. Every other Saturday we'll be live here on BBS Radio. We also simulcast on Google Hangouts and Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to sign up for the League of Consciousness Explorers, head over to galactichistorian.com and you can sign up through our store. So I want to thank everyone that has been around. This has been a really, really incredible show. We're having just a lot of questions come through here. So, Santi, do you have any actual questions from today's reading?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me paste some here. This is kind of a long question, but it says...
Can you just read it?
Yeah, absolutely. Can other people... I'm not certain, but I think it is. Can other people's projection actually innately affect us?
Or is it power? Yes. Go ahead with the rest of the question.
Or is it the power that we give those projections? For example, when it comes to with sexuality.
Well, when we give something the space to be in there, and that's when sexual projections are put on someone. At some point in their life, they accepted the sexual projections for whatever reason. And there are people that have gone through phases where they've turned it off. It's just things that happen in your own Kundalini field that turn on. That also attracts sexual projections as we're putting out our different psychic sense from the different fantasy worlds that we create. So we have to realize that a projection is someone's energy field, photonic light field, trying to interact with your auric. And if you are someone that's semi-awake and just begins to, like, what are these thoughts out of nowhere, and play with them a little bit, you've given access to that sexual projection field. You know, we live in a world where people are constantly gawking at women or men or women that are constantly in a scenario with whatever men that they're dealing with. They're trying to steer in the right direction of life, and they're in their energy field everywhere they go. And when that man goes to have a sexual experience with that person in their mind, and it's not what that other person feels, there's this counter projection that comes back that drives that person away.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You want another one here?
Yep.
What does it mean to have soul shards of other people in your heart?
Okay, well, that's specifically for this particular person that was on. That means she had the Florence Nightingale syndrome, because she was such a powerful empath with a specific psychic skill that when she saw people that were beat up by the system, literally, physically, psychically, mentally, socially, whatever reason, she would take on a part of that pain and hold on to it like a baby pulling it out of the war zone. And oftentimes, as those people go through their healing, they let her hold on to it because it's easier for someone else to deal with it than them. And then as that person actually awakens up from the pain and doesn't have that pain of the shard, they heal and leave, and she's still holding on to the shard. And it needs to go back to the person that created it in a resolution of dream method. And it's a martyr thing where people hold soul shards of others in their heart because they're unable to properly mourn.
Okay, very, very good.
Let's make this the last question from the readings here, because we're going on 20 minutes here.
Yeah, absolutely. What were those DNA changes in the reading? What were the missing codes? And how are they to find
missing
them?
Codes is her turning on her own sovereignty and realizing she started a soul family here, and that it's only her sovereign codes that can activate her own soul family. So that everyone else that's going through the same process that she is, that doesn't know what soul family they're in, because false light beings have kicked everyone out of the astral world, and she has no ancestral connection to anyone in the astral world, but still here on the physical world, going through that awakening process, that she is in the pecking order of the I Am Self, the one that gets to control all the memories, the one that gets to determine all sovereign actions. But that means you must take on the weight of responsibility of the self in all dimensions and time streams. She has to have that psychic vault so she can enforce her own DNA change, so the system isn't impressing a new archetype into her.
Excellent. Very, very good. Very, very good, Andrew.
So I want to thank everyone that's been in the chat room at galactichistorian.com/live, everyone at the megastation, bbsradio.com, everyone on Google Hangouts and Blog Talk Radio. Thanks a lot, everyone. All right, take us away, guys.